From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Melissa Block. A talk now with the man charged with dealing with the economic crisis.
Joining us now is Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson. Welcome to the program.
Great to be with you.
First, you confirmed yesterday that the $700 billion approved by Congress will not go to buy up the so-called toxic securities, securities backed up by bad mortgages. Which is the case here? Do you no longer view those securities as being at the core of our problems, or are they still there, but it's just too hard to assign a value to them, so you can't deal with them at this point?
They're clearly a core of the problem, that we have a problem where banks have a large amount of illiquid assets. But what caused us to switch our tactics, and let me step back and say that I think the strategy of buying illiquid mortgage assets was a good one when we set it, because it would help the banks raise capital and show some price discovery, and it would be a good strategy today, but it's not the best strategy. And the reason is because the magnitude of the problem increased. And as the facts changed and as we saw the significance of the problem, I felt that it made more sense to put capital into the banks, because this is a more powerful and a quicker way to deal with the problem.
You say it's a quicker way. Is it then unfair to say that, in effect, you've punted, that someone's going to have to deal with those securities and you won't do it now?
No, absolutely not, because $700 billion wouldn't go far enough, in my judgment. And so you get much more leverage, and by putting capital into the banks, that this makes it easier for them to write down the value of the securities and to sell them. And so this is much more leverage, and it is a way to deal with what I view as a significant problem, but it's the most powerful way to deal with the issue.
So far, Americans have learned in the past couple of weeks that it seems AIG is worse off than we thought when the government bought it, that it's worse off than it was then. Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae are perhaps worse off than we thought when the government took them over. And as you say, for buying up toxic securities, $700 billion wouldn't be nearly enough to do it. Why shouldn't people say this sounds an awful lot like trial and error and a lot of error?
Well, it takes strong exception with that, because let me go back and take them one at a time. Okay. When AIG was on the brink of failing, we didn't have the TARP. The Fed stepped in to save the system and save the American people and make a bridge loan. And if we had the TARP, we would have put preferred stock in to stabilize that situation along with the Fed's borrowing. There's no doubt we would have done that. And what this does is puts the government in a stronger position and gives it more time to sell off the assets. In terms of Freddie and Fannie, that this was a disaster waiting to happen. We had a charter which Congress had created with great ambiguities. We got in. We saw that they didn't have enough capital, and it wasn't a high quality of capital. We moved quickly to stabilize that situation, and I think we very successfully stabilized that situation. And I would say the earnings announcements, which you've seen, reflect what we saw when we were there. And they are performing quite consistently with our expectations.
Your intelligence has been good in these instances,
And they're stabilized. And in terms of the banks, it's clear that the problem we had looked at is there, but that given the magnitude of the problem and given my desire to use the resources we have in the way that best protects the taxpayer, the way to do that is putting the preferred into the banks. And I'll tell you there, the other thing is the taxpayer is going to get that investment back.
But you just said that $700 billion wouldn't be enough to do what was originally intended.
Well,
how much would have been enough in this?
The way I would say it is that in order to get the most for that $700 billion, the biggest impact, the way to do it is with capital.
You've also said that the federal rescue funds should not be used to aid the auto companies. Two, I'd like you to explain what is essentially different between keeping a car maker afloat, which was not a stated aim of the rescue package, and keeping credit card debt flowing, which also wasn't a much debated aim of the rescue plan when it went to Congress.
Let me begin by saying, in terms of looking at some of the securitized consumer credit, Rice said that was one thing we were considering. Mm-hmm. I didn't say we'd made a decision. Okay. And I said we were considering investing in a plan that the Fed would put together, a liquidity program to protect the consumer from the collapse of the market for consumer credit outside of the banking system. But let me get back to the autos, because mm-hmm. what we've said with the autos, and I think has been pretty clear, we've said that the automotive industry is a very important industry. No one thinks that a bankruptcy of any auto manufacturer would be something that we'd like to see happen at this time. We've said that there is legislation that's already passed Congress, which sets aside $25 billion for the auto industry. We're asking Congress to amend that bill. And all I'm saying with the TARP is that was not the stated intent of the TARP. It was for the financial system. What we're talking about in terms of potentially providing liquidity for a host of credit products is clearly aimed at the financial system.
But wouldn't a isn't a consequence of strengthening the financial system through effectively credit card companies, isn't that trying to keep consumer spending alive as we're heading into a recession?
Well, let me step back mm-hmm. again. What we had said was that we were giving consideration to taking a relatively small amount of TARP assets and investing in a liquidity facility that the Federal Reserve might set up to buy a range of products, auto securitizations, credit card securitizations,
student loan securitizations.
And the reason for that is that in our country, 40% of this financing takes place away from the banks. And so that's another form of direct lending. So this is about keeping lending going, keeping the economy going, or conversely, if that market collapses, it will end up to some extent back on the bank's balance sheets, and that will restrain other lending.
You said yesterday, overall, we're in a better position than we were. It's a modest statement of progress, but it's a statement of progress. Can you tell Americans who are listening something that's happened, something that should have affected their lives by now, that is a tribute to the nearly $300 billion that's already been committed by the U.S. government?
Yeah, I would say the first thing I would say to Americans, what we were dealing with was we were dealing with a financial system, a banking system that was on the tipping point. Credit was frozen. Banks weren't lending to each other. People were asking themselves about the viability of banks. I believe the banking system has been stabilized. No one is asking themselves anymore, is there some major institution that might fail and that we would not be able to do anything about it? So I think that is a positive. I think in terms of the challenges, in terms of working through this economic downturn, let me tell you, it took a long time to build up these excesses. It's going to take a good while to work through this period. And the first focus, as I said yesterday, should be on recovery and repair. And it's going to take a while longer to work through it.
Just to clarify, you're saying no one's saying now there could be a failure of a major institution that we wouldn't be able to deal with. There could be a failure of another major institution.
I got to tell you, I think our major institutions have been stabilized. I believe that very strongly.
Well, Secretary Paulson, thank you very much for talking
to us. Thank you.
Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson.